Amen. Luke chapter number 11, if you would. Luke chapter number 11, verse number 14. Luke 11, verse number 14. The Bible said, and he was casting out a devil, that is, Jesus was casting out a devil, and it was dumb. Amen. That word dumb identifies someone that can't talk. And I want to say to you that all devils are dumb. Amen. They're dumb in that they'll never tell you right. But anyway, he cast out the devil, and it was dumb. And it came to pass that when the devil was gone out, the dumb spake. What about that? Immediate change. What he couldn't do before salvation because of the influence and the control, the spiritual control that was in his life of the devil. Soon as the devil was gone, he was able to do what he couldn't do before. He was able to speak. God will make a change in your life. It's shouted throughout the scriptures how that God will change your life. Amen. And the Bible said, and when it was gone, the dumb spake, and the people wondered. But some of them said, he casteth out devils through Beelzebub, the chief of devils. Others tempting him, sought him of him a sign from heaven. But he, knowing their thoughts, said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falleth. If Satan also be divided, and that's what they were accusing Jesus of, casting out a devil in the name of the devil, or in the name of Beelzebub. The devil's not going to fight himself. The devil's not going to fight himself. The devil's not going to be divided against himself. No, he's furthering his cause. And Satan also to be divided against himself. How shall his kingdom stand? Because you say that I cast out devils through Beelzebub. If I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your sons cast them out? You're accusing me of being an enemy of the devil, of Beelzebub. And you're saying that it's by Beelzebub that I'm casting out devils. And you're the opposite. You're the opposite. Then who are your sons using to cast out devils? Boy, he trapped them right there. He had them hemmed up right there. That's not what I was wanting to look at. Let's read on. Verse 19, I'll finish that. And if by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore shall they be your judges. But if I with the finger of God cast out devils. Boy, I like that terminology, don't you? Jesus said right here, all I have to do to take care of devils is just use the finger of God. I like that. But if I with the finger of God cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God has come upon you. And now he goes into this illustration to explain what's going on. Look at verse number 21. When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor, wherein he trusted, and divideth his spoils. He that is not with me is against me. That's pretty dogmatic and pretty blunt. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, and he's used that terminology there in verse 21 and 22 and 23, to explain what he had done to that man that was possessed of the devil. Look in verse 24. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeketh rest, findeth none. He saith, I will return to my house when I come out, whence I come out. And when he cometh, he findeth it swept and garnished. You say, what is that? That is a person that's went so far with their salvation, with their salvation experience. They didn't get saved. God dealt with them. They knew they needed to be saved. Amen. And made some advances toward that, but didn't get saved. And they left, they garnished, their house was garnished, their house was polished, their house was swept, they were straightening up, they had reformed, they had turned over new leaves, you know, starting to do better. But they never got saved. Look what happens. Then goeth he and taketh him seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And they entered in and dwelt there. And the last state of the man is worse than the first. Let's bow for prayer. Father, I pray now that you'll take the message, the scriptures, and our desire to be used of God to help this congregation. Lord, put the drawing power of the Holy Ghost in this place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. What got me in this passage was in Matthew chapter 3, when John the Baptist come on the scene, and he is the forerunner of Christ, as prophesied by Isaiah the prophet. And John the Baptist comes on the scene in chapter 3 of the book of Matthew. And he's a forerunner, of course. But then he comes down into verse 11. And he said this, and this caught my attention this week. He said, I indeed baptize you with water. John said, I baptize you with water. But he said, he that cometh after me, the one that's coming after me, I'm the forerunner, the one that's coming after me, which is the Lord Jesus, here's what got my attention, is mightier than me. He's mightier than I. John, what Jesus said about John, none greater born of a woman than John the Baptist. It's what Jesus said, but here he is saying, the one that's coming after me is mightier than I. Well, we need that. We need him. I tell you what we're suffering from in our churches is what man can do. We need what the mightier than I can do. Well, anyways, I was studying and doing some cross references and word studies on that word mightier. And that word mightier has to do with force. He is one that is more forceful, more powerful, and stronger than I. Now, if John had said that Jesus was mighty, that would have still been accurate. Had John said that Jesus was great, that still would have been accurate. But John didn't say that he was mighty. John didn't say that he was great. John said he is mightier. Mightier than I. Well, that's it right there. And that I-E-R on the end of might brings in comparison. Mightier means that he stands above, he stands superior to anything and anybody else that would be brought into the picture. He's mightier than I. And we need him to show up at RBT. We need him to be active and in our church and in our life. Mightier. We need the one that's mightier. John said he is mightier than I. Well, anyway, we may preach on that another time, but there's a lot of preach right there in what John was saying by calling him the mightier. But as I began to do some cross references and some word studies and stuff, I found that same word that is used in Matthew 3, verse 11, mightier, is found in the passage that I read in your hearing in Luke chapter number 11, and it's found in verse number 22, but when a stronger. Well, I like that. When a stronger than he shall come upon him. That's the same word. That's the same individual. Jesus Christ is mightier. Jesus Christ is stronger. Amen. Now, and it takes him to save you. He has to be mightier than you or he can't save you. He's got to be stronger than you or he can't save you. He's got to be mightier than the devil. He's got to be stronger than the devil. He's got to be mightier and stronger than sin. He can't set you free from sin if he doesn't have a power that's greater than the dominion of sin in your life. That's why we can recommend him to you this morning, that he is in fact mightier than you. And when he says he's mightier than you, that means he's mightier not just than your person. He's mightier than your problems. He's mightier than the dominating powers that's controlling your life. He is mightier. Well, that's good. And there's none mightier than him. There's none stronger than him. But in this passage in Luke chapter number 11, we find in this passage where Jesus had cast out that devil in verse 14. And that could not be done by man. That could be only done by one that is stronger. And he brings into that story, verse 21 and 22, where he said, "When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor wherein he trusted and divideth his spoils." So I want us to look at that. Those two references there. Verse 21 talks about the strong man. The strong man. And then in verse number 22, it talks about the stronger than he. Well, I'm glad of that. That strong man represents the devil. The stronger than he represents the Lord Jesus. Amen. The strong man. Let's look at verse 21 and look at some things in that verse of scripture if we could. The first thing I want to show you is that it references his power. The strong man. Now, we'd be naive this morning if we didn't think the devil has power. You don't have to look far in our world, and you don't have to listen to much to know that the devil is one of power. Amen. That's right. Some people blame God for all the bad things that are happening in this world. You can't blame God with that. You blame that on sin and the devil. Amen. We're destroying ourselves. That's right. But oh, listen, it says that it says something about his power. It did say that he was called a strong man. Now we must give credit where it's due. The devil is strong, but he's not the strongest. He is strong. He's stronger than me. He's stronger than you. But he's not stronger than the one the Bible says is mightier. The one the Bible says is stronger. Amen. That's good. But it says something about his power. But I like this one addition that's added in verse 21. When a strong man, he adds that word man to the identity here to let us know that his power is limited. That his power, amen, is of this world. Amen. It is, his power is limited. And let me say this, the devil's powerful. Look at the young people he's ruining their lives. Look at the people that have taken their lives, taken their own lives in the last 24 hours. Young people that don't even want to live anymore. Amen. They think, what's the use? And they attempt to kill themselves. And many of them are successful. Who's behind that? Is it God? Negative. Absolutely not. God's not the author of death. He's the author of life. Amen. God cares about you. He don't want to. Amen. He don't want you to get in that shape. He doesn't want you. But the devil does. Devil don't care anything about you. And we'll point that out. But we see something about his power. And the devil has power. One, because he is so deceptive. Amen. He's so deceptive. He don't tell the truth. He'll never deal with you, straight up. He's always dealing with you a stack deck. He's always dealing with you, amen, and he always plays crooked. How many likes to play a game with somebody that's always cheating? How many likes to do that? I don't. I hate it. Amen. I don't cheat, and I don't play with cheaters. Amen. But the devil is a liar. The devil is a cheater. The devil is a deceiving, amen. He is out to destroy you. Amen. But he's powerful. He is powerful because he's deceptive. He's powerful because he is destructive. He knows my limitations. He knows what I'm made of. He knows how frail and fleshly that I am. He knows what appeals to me. Amen. Because this outward man is of this world, and the Bible says that the devil is the god, little G-O-D, of this world. So it says something about his power. Number two, it says something about his preparation. Verse number 21. And when a strong man armed, that word armed means he's equipped fully with armor. He don't mess around. You hear that sometimes on the news when somebody, a criminal's broke out, they'll say he's armed and dangerous. Be on the alert, he's armed and dangerous. Well, there's one on the loose and has been for a long time that's armed and dangerous. Amen. The only thing makes him more dangerous is you can't see him. You can't see him. You can't see him walk up the sidewalk. You can't see him, my friend, coming through the window. Amen. As you would a criminal. The devil is powerful and he is prepared. He's armed. He's equipped and he's dangerous and he's out to destroy. Thirdly, I notice in this verse, his palace is referenced. When a strong man armed keepeth his palace. What about that? Did you know this morning that the devil knows that he must offer you a palace of a good time? If he offered you a shack of a good time, or if he offered you, you know, a tent of a good time, you wouldn't be attracted to that. Oh my, listen, sin is attractive. The devil and his offers are definitely attractive. How many young people have fallen prey to the enemy because he was offering them a palace of a time. That word palace means a mansion. Amen. A mansion. Something with a lot of glitter in it. A lot of glamour to it. A lot of ooh and ah associated with it. But there is the preparation involved. His palace is involved. If he offered you what it really is, you wouldn't take it. If he showed you the big picture of dope and the outcome and drugs and its outcome and drinking alcohol and its outcome and a lot of other wicked choices you could put to that list, if he showed you the outcome of that, you'd realize it's not a mansion. You'd realize that it's not a palace. You'd realize the truth of it. Amen. Amen. God will tell you the truth about what he offers you. Amen. That's right. Boy, listen, I thought about this a few minutes ago when the choir was singing. I was thinking about the storefront. Sometimes you go and you look at storefronts and they'll make those storefronts all attractive. You ever notice that? They'll put big fancy stuff on the front and just doll it up real nice where it looks good in the street. But have you ever went around behind it? That's usually where they got the dumpster. That's usually where the trash is at. Same store, but on the front side where the public looks, they've got it all dolled up, you know. They've got it all fixed up really nice so where that, and all that says is, come on in. That real nice storefront that they've made look really good to the street is saying, come on in. You will like our merchandise, but go around behind it. And that's just like the devil. That's just like the devil when he offers you his temptations. He really fixes it up nice on the street side. He really shows you what he thinks that you would like to see to where you would think, man, if it looks this good on the street, wonder what's inside. I wonder what's inside. Next thing you know, before you know it, you've done opened the door and you've done went in. Amen. But there's usually another door, and that's the back door. Amen. And the devil's desire for you is to take you to the backside. Amen. Amen. Has the devil ever told anybody in here the truth? Never told you the truth. He can't. He's a liar and the father of lies. But he wants to tell you the life you're living is the dream. He wants to tell you and that he's tempting you with and alluring you is the thing. But oh, it's just fabricated front. It's just a fabricated front. There's a dumpster in behind. Amen. Sin don't play fair. Amen. The devil will tell you if you drink this and smoke that and take that and pop that pill that you'll have a time. But he won't show you. He won't show you after your life is destroyed and your life is shattered and your life is scarred. He won't show you none of that. He won't show you none of that. No, he won't show you the people that have died prematurely in car wrecks and stuff because of foolishness. And amen. That's right. Oh yeah, he won't tell you that. He'll tell you just focus on the good time. Don't focus on anything negative. Focus on the front. Don't worry about the dumpster. Don't worry about the trash bin back in the back. Oh yeah. He talks about his palace. And then he talks about, in verse number 21, the preservation. The Bible said that he keepeth his palace. He keepeth his palace. And that word keep means to watch over or to guard. It means to keep his eye upon it. Can you see him? Can you see the devil sitting up there watching over all of his business and all of his house? And one by one as they come through the front door, amen, amazed with the fabricated front to allure you inside. Oh yeah, he keepeth his, he's keeping a guard. He's watching, he's guarding your escape. He's guarding you leaving. He's preventing you from leaving. And then I notice something else in verse 21. It talks about his possessions. It says his goods. His goods. That's his estimation, his goods. The devil's going to offer you some things that will appear and feel to be good. Amen. If he didn't, nobody would ever listen to anything he had to say if he didn't lie to them. Talks about his possessions here, that they are valuable. They're called his goods because they're valuable to him. They're not goods because they're valuable to you. They're called goods to him, Brother Mark, because they're valuable to him. He doesn't care about you. When you are serving him, You're just a servant. He doesn't care a thing about you. Amen. You're just valuable to him. And when you're all washed up and when you're done, you'll wind up in the dumpster in the back when you're done. Amen. His possession. And then his peace. The Bible said there in verse 21, his goods are in peace. And that word peace there identifies its security. Sinners, in one respect, have a false peace. That feel good that comes with sin, that is deceptive. Well, it feels good, it can't be bad. Huh? You have to watch out for that. Sinners having that false peace. But that's not the one I want to look at this morning. There's another man in the picture. There's another identity in verse number 22. And that is a stronger than he. Well, there would be no hope for you, for me, for anybody in verse 21 to get out from under the dominion and the control and the keeping of the strong man. No matter how hard you try, dear sinner friend, you cannot set yourself free. You cannot save yourself. That's elementary. I know that. But you cannot. Why? You're not strong enough. You're not strong enough. You got to have somebody that is stronger than the strong man before you can be set free. Look at verse 22. The first thing I notice about the stronger of the two is his character. If you'll notice in verse 21, he attaches the word man to the strong man, showing he's limited in his power, showing he's limited in his ability. Limited. Strong man. But when it comes to verse 22, it doesn't attach the word man. It says, but the stronger than he. The stronger than he. It didn't put the word man there, showing his power is not limited. Showing that his power is unlimited. Amen? I like that. Psalms 89 and verse 19, I have laid my help upon one that is mighty. David said that. That word mighty there in Psalms 89, 19 means champion. David said, I've laid my help upon the one that is a champion, upon the one that is mighty. Boy, I'm glad we have a mightier to save this morning. A mightier to forgive of your sins and cleanse you from your sins. Amen. Oh, look at this in verse 22. But, I like that first word. It's almost showing like verse 21 is uninterrupted until verse 22 comes on the scene. But, the strong man's having his way, but the strong man is keeping his goods. The strong man is in control, but when the stronger than he shall come. Oh, yes. Boy, when Jesus shows up and deals with you and speaks to you and draws you, my friend, that's when there's help for you. There's help for you, amen. His coming, his character, his coming. Amen. The word but there identifies a contrast. The strong man is this, but the stronger than he is opposite. Amen. But he, when the stronger than he shall come. And I like this. When the stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him. That speaks of his conquering. And by the way, I thought I'd give you good news this morning. The devil's a defeated foe. The devil's a defeated foe. He's been conquered at Calvary. Jesus defeated the strong man so you can have the stronger than he. He overcame him. And there's verses on top of verses, Colossians, Hebrews, John, 1 John, Ephesians 4, that shows that Jesus has defeated the powers of hell. Jesus has defeated the devil. Amen. Well, I'm glad that's good news I can tell you this morning. The gospel is good news to you. Jesus can set you free this morning. And watch this right here, verse 22. Not only talks about his character and his coming and his conquering of the strong man, but it also talks about his contributing. Look what he says. After he overcomes him, he takes from him. I like that. When I got saved, the devil didn't give me up. No, I was taken. The stronger than he didn't ask, can I have him or have her? The strong man, the stronger than he comes in, amen, uninvited. He didn't knock. He didn't ask, can I come in? He just, the Bible said, but when the stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor. Armor. Took away from him his equipment. Took away from him the keys to his own kingdom. And look at this. And the Bible said he divideth his spoils. He divideth his spoils. That is, the fruit of victory is given to other people. The fruit of the battle that's been won is given to other people. And that's what Jesus does. He fought the fight. He fought the battle. He won the victory over the devil at the cross of Calvary. And anybody that'll receive him, he will give you the benefits. He'll give you the rewards. He'll give you the fruit of his victory. 1 Corinthians 15:57. Thanks be unto God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He's mightier. He's mightier. He's stronger this morning. He's stronger. Mightier. Stronger shows that there's a comparison. There's at least two sides. There's at least two opposing forces. And one is strong, but the other is stronger. One is mighty, but the other is mightier. And I'm glad the mightier is on the scene. The mightier, the Savior. John said he's mightier than I. He's come. He's on the scene. And he stands ready, willing, and able to save to the uttermost all that will come unto him. All that will come unto him. He's mightier. Think about this. He's stronger and he's mightier. He's mightier and he's stronger than your distance from God. Heaven's a long ways from earth. They'll never make a space shuttle that can go that far. You'd never get to God. He's too far away. Heaven's, you'd never make it to heaven because it's too far. You have no way of getting there. And no way of getting there. But thank God 2,000 years ago, the one that is mightier, the one that is stronger, stepped out of glory, stepped out of heaven, and stepped into this world. The incarnation, God came here. He's mightier than the distance. He's mightier than the debt. You had a debt that you couldn't pay. You had a debt of sin that you could not pay this morning. But I'm glad Jesus Christ is mightier than your debt. Mightier than the debt of sin and the condemnation that was against you. When Jesus died on the cross, thank God He took your debt, paid it in full, so you can be free. You can't beat that. You can't beat a deal like that. He's mightier than your distance from God. He's mightier than your debt of sin. The debt you owed, you could never in a thousand lifetimes pay that debt. Amen? You never straightening up can do it, not do it. Reformation can't do it. That's commendable. Everybody ought to try to do better. Amen. But that'll never take care of the sin debt. Amen. Why? Because God will only accept a blood sacrifice. And without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. He's mightier than your distance from God. He's mightier than your debt of sin. He's mightier. Why like this? He's mightier than the devil that is controlling your life. And the passage we looked at in Luke's account proves that there is a stronger than he. Amen. But he's not going to just set you free. You've got to come to him. You've got to come to him. You've got to want it. God's never saved anybody that didn't want to be saved. Are you listening? God's never saved anybody that didn't want to be saved. If you want to be saved, I promise you, based on the authority of God's word, he'll save you. He'll save you from your sins. Thank God. He'll change your life. Now, if you don't want to be changed, you don't want to be saved. Amen. He'll be your Lord, your master, and the best friend that you've ever had. I say unto you, he's greater, stronger, mightier than the distance you have from God. Ephesians said you're afar off this morning. You can't get no further away from God if you're lost. That's as far away from God as you can get. Amen. But God says his son, Jesus Christ, is mightier than that distance. He's already come here. Amen. And just coming here, listen, let me go back and hit that a minute. Just coming here still would not save you. He came here as the virgin-born Son of God, but just as the Son of God, he still could not save you. He had to become the Son of Man. He had to be virgin-born. He had to become the Son of Man. Why, preacher? Because we had to have a kinsman to redeem us. That's all through the Old Testament, through the Scripture. It takes a kinsman to redeem. And even though God came here in His Son, He still couldn't save me, Brother Rob, as the Son of God. He had to become the Son of Man. Son of God, He connects with God. Son of Man, He connects with me. And He becomes my mediator in Him, in Himself. Amen. He's mightier than the distance. He's mightier than the debt. He's mightier than the devil. He's mightier than that. I like that. He's mightier than death. He's mightier than death. Jesus Christ kicked the other end of the grave out on that third resurrection morning. Made it a sweet passage for glory. If he's got power, Brother Chuck, if he's got power to be in control of his birth, none of us did. We didn't even find out about it till several months later. Hey man, when we had sense enough to know anything about a birthday, right? But listen, Jesus was in full control of his birth, details. He was born on time in the right place, the right people. Everything was laid out. He was in control of his birth. He was in control of his life. He was in control of his death. You're not in control of that. He is in control of his. Even to the point that where the Bible said that he told the Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. He cried, it's finished. And the Bible said something very, very unique about Jesus. It said, he gave up the ghost. He dismissed life from his body. He was in charge of his death. But I want to tell you, 3 days later, resurrection morning, he was in charge of his resurrection. Amen. They didn't roll that tomb stone away so that you and I could get in or for him to get out. No, he could get out easy. But that stone was rolled away to prove the tomb is, in fact, empty. He's greater than death. He's mightier. He's stronger than that. Amen. I've been dealing, that's, a lot of that's dealing with sinners this morning. He's mightier than your debt. He's mightier than that load on you. You know what that load is? You know what that burden is that's weighing heavy on you, dear sinner friend? You know what that is? That is you not being right with your Creator. That is you not being right with God. The strong man is dominating your life, destroying your life. Amen. You need to come and be introduced to the stronger than he. He'll set you free. He sets you free this morning. He'll forgive you of your sins. Yes, he will. Amen. Oh, yes. He's greater, stronger, mightier this morning than the defilement that's in your life. You said, preacher, you don't know what I've done. You don't know what I've done. You don't know where I've been, preacher. You don't know. I don't want to know. I don't have to know. I know this, 1 John 1:7, that the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. The only thing that the blood of Jesus Christ will not forgive and cleanse is that of unbelief. That's why people go to hell. That's why people go to hell. They don't trust Christ. They don't accept Christ. They don't believe Christ. God can't save you. God can't forgive that sin. That's an unpardonable sin right there. You want to know what the unpardonable sin right there is? Unpardonable sin is unbelief. Amen. Not believing. I'm not talking about with your head now. We're not talking about, most of you in here, you're raised around, you know, in the Bible Belt, and you know a lot about the Bible, whether you, long before you even got saved. Growing up, you heard it, you was exposed to it. We're not talking about with your head. James said the devils believe and tremble. Amen. They know more about God than we do. They're more convinced that he's alive than we do. But they're not saved. They're not saved. You know why? There's no commitment there. They believe, but there's no commitment there. There's no commitment there. Well, listen, he's mightier and stronger than our distance from God. He's mightier and stronger than our debt of sin. He's mightier and stronger than the devil. He's mightier and stronger than death. He's mightier and stronger than defilement. Aren't you glad that though sin has scarred your life, that you can be set free? Boy, that's good this morning. Isn't that good this morning that you can have a new beginning today? Preached last Sunday morning on you can begin again. Boy, that's a blessing. I remember playing ball, Brother J.R., we played ball back growing up. We didn't have no fancy courts or nothing. We just had to get out in the backyard and play. Or if we played, you know, if we played baseball or something, we'd go down in the cow pasture and play. That's getting messy sometimes. Amen. I mean, that's just, we didn't have no, you know, and so we had boundaries. We'd play football in our mom and daddy's front yard. And it wasn't real wide, and it dropped off about 100 feet into the road. So we definitely had some out of bounds. We had some boundaries, you know, and if the ball went off there, okay, we'll redo that. We get to do that again. Or if we hit the ball in the cow pasture and it went across the fence the wrong way in the creek, well, that's a do-over. That's a do-over. In other words, we get to do it again. That's what I dealt with last Sunday. I'm glad we can begin again. God can give you a new life, a new start. Amen. He can forgive you, pick you up, wipe you off, and set you on your feet again. Boy, that's good news. That's wonderful news. But I'm glad, listen, that the mightier than I, the stronger, Brother Tim, is greater than the defilement of sin. Oh, you heard Brother Ivan's testimony. We've all heard Brother Craddock's and Brother Brad's and Miss June's and mine, and we've heard all of several in here. I tell you, when I come to the Lord, buddy, I wasn't as clean Joe, friend. No, I was defiled. I was unclean. I was like the leper. The leper that comes to the Lord in the Gospels. Leprosy was highly contagious and it was fatal. If you had leprosy, you was going to die. There was no cure for leprosy. And nobody wanted to touch a leper. Nobody wanted to be around a leper. Why? Because it's contagious. Amen. They had to go out, be put in leper colonies. But when they come to the Lord Jesus Christ and kneeled down to Him and said, "If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." Thank God Jesus Christ was able to cleanse the leper. What man could not do. And when Jesus would touch the leper, Jesus didn't get leprosy. He's greater than defilement. Oh, Jesus can set you free. I can't set you free. No matter how much I'd like to, I can't set you free this morning. I can't do that. Why? Because I'm not strong enough. I'm not mighty enough. Amen? You need the mightier than you, mightier than your sin, mightier than the defilements in your life. Amen. Boy, the devil will tell you, you've blown it. The devil will tell you, look what all you've done. Your life is a wreck. I'm glad Jesus is able, as Miss June was testifying, I'm glad He's a master of my mess. Thank God. Amen. Praise God for that. He's greater than the defilements of that. And I want to say this in closing. He's stronger, greater, mightier than damnation. Hallelujah. The condemnation that's against you, that, amen, wants to take you to a Christless eternity. I'm glad Jesus is able to deal with that this morning. That's great news. That's great news. Listen, and as you heard these testimonies, and we could have had several more, as you heard that, you think, man, boy, the Lord done something for them. But here's the good part. God is no respecter of person. What He's done for me, what He did for me 34 years ago, He can do for you. Yes. What He did for Brother Ivan up there in that deer stand, when he got saved up there in that deer stand, listen, He'll do for you. Amen. And we could go up down this side and up down this side. Everybody that's saved, it don't matter what kind of a past you've had. It don't matter what you've been guilty of. It don't matter where you've been. Listen, we've seen people get saved here, young kids get saved here that have never smoked a cigarette, never tasted tobacco, never drunk a drop of beer. Hey, man, never have been out there in the world. Hey, and God saved them. It took the same grace to save them as it did to save the drunk on the street. Amen, or the harlot. Amen, or the dope head, or the murderer. It takes the grace of God to save any sinner. I'm glad the same blood that flowed from Calvary's Lamb that would save a child will save a murderer and will save a drunk and will save a harlot. It don't matter, friend. You come to Him. He's mightier than your defilement. He's mightier than your sin, and He's mightier than the condemnation that's against you. You know what Romans 8:1 says, Brother Tim? There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Amen. I don't know if y'all sensed it when I first started preaching. Boy, the devil just kind of tightening this thing up. I couldn't think hard. I couldn't have told you my name. Hey, and you know what I was thinking? I'm in a battle zone. I'm in a warfare. Amen. We're between heaven and earth. We're between hell and sinners this morning. And we're trying to wave them off. Don't go this way. Don't go this way. The bridge is out. Don't go this way. Destruction's up ahead. Don't go this way. There's plenty in here that's already been that way. And we can testify. Sin will lie to you. The devil is a thief, buddy. He don't care about you. I want y'all to notice that. I brought that up on purpose because I want you to notice that I noticed that early on in the preaching, that tightening down. But you think the devil is going to let me throw out the lifeline this morning? Without a fight, the strong man has tried every way in the world this morning to lock it down, tighten it down this morning. But I've been feeling a little bit of a breakthrough in the last few minutes of the stronger than he is showing up. Hallelujah. Oh, he wants to save you this morning. We're in a battle. We're in a fight this morning. Hey, if you're here lost this morning, listen, it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be easy for you to just say, you know what, I believe I'm going to get saved. You know why? Because you've got the strong man that's fighting that. You've got the strong man that'll say, look, you know what, a preaching's going on. Hey, you, where are you going to eat at? You know, what are you going to do after church? Get your mind on that. That's the strong man, because he don't want you to get saved. The devil wants you to go to hell with him. Are you listening? Hey, the devil wants you to go to hell with him. But the stronger than he wants you to go to heaven with him. Amen. And the choice is yours. You can get saved this morning. Oh, I felt something on that. Hey, I want you to know this morning that there's been a war going on in this building this morning. It's not mechanical. Church is not mechanical. Shouldn't be. Never. I mean, one service may be up here. The next service may be down here. The next service may be here. Amen. Sometimes it's free as a bird. Sometimes it's locked up. Sometimes there's a warfare going on, and we ought to expect that. Hey, amen, RBT. We ought to expect that. There's lost people here this morning. The devil's trying everywhere in the world to wreck and ruin and dominate their life and destroy their life and defile their life and keep them distracted by putting it off. Oh, I'll get saved sometime. I'll get saved one day. I'm planning on it, preacher. I'm intending on it. I want to tell you, you don't go to heaven or to hell because of you intended on it. You don't go to heaven because you intend on it. You go to heaven because you act on it, because you do something about it. Amen. Are you saved this morning? Do you know the Lord? Is there evidence in your life to prove that? You can't be saved and there not be evidence of it. Inwardly, outwardly, there'll be evidence of it. Are you saved this morning? Are you willing to die with what you've got? Oh, I'm telling you, God set you free this morning. Hey, man, that's right. Hey, man, I don't like it when it's tight. I hate it when it's tight. But when I know what's going on and there's a battle and there's a warfare and there's a struggle, Brother Bob, going on, there's lost people in the midst, and if we're not careful, we'll say, well, it's tight a little bit. We might as well just quit. No, you know what I've had in my heart the whole time I've been trying to preach? I've been trying to push through. Yeah, devil don't want it. Get it. Amen. We're just pushing through. The stronger than he's helping us. Amen. And we're just trying to push through because your soul's being weighed in the balances this morning. Boy, I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad I've already dealt with that. I'm glad I've already been set free from the strong man. I'm glad I know the stronger than he. Oh, it's good to be saved. He's mightier. He's mightier. Listen to this. I don't have time to deal with it, but in Matthew 14, I guess it is, where Peter was walking on the water. The same word mightier is used in that passage as the word boisterous. When Peter saw the wind boisterous, what happened to him? He got distracted with what was mighty. What was mightier than him. And what did he do? He began to sink. He began to sink. Why? He got to noticing what was mightier than him. The waves, the wind, the darkness, the storm was mightier than him. But there's somebody else standing there. Yeah, there was somebody else standing there. And that was Jesus. And it wasn't mightier than him. Hey man, what was sinking Peter wasn't even phasing Jesus. He's fine. He's fine. Why? He's mightier. Maybe you're going through a storm. Maybe you're going through something as a child of God. And it's bigger than you. It's mightier than you. It's stronger than you. And you're sinking in it. It's taking your joy. It's taking your victory. But I got good news for you. The same Savior that walks on the water can help you. And the Bible said that when Peter saw he was sinking, he said, Lord, save me. And the Lord reached out and caught him. I like that word caught. Reached out and caught him and brought him back up to surface. Brought him back up to his level. Brought him back up to where he was at. And then they walked back on the water back to the ship. Saved or lost this morning, Jesus is mightier than you. Jesus is mightier than anything that concerns you. He's mightier than your fight, your problems, your battles, your pressures of life, temptations of life, trials of life. But this morning, if you're lost, I've felt a strong warfare this morning. Devil don't, the strong man don't want you to get saved. He likes you being in his palace. He likes you serving him. He likes to bring his will to pass through your life. He likes the fact that he's controlling you. He likes that. He doesn't want the stronger than he to show up. He doesn't want the one that is mightier to show up and to set you free. But I can testify, and I'm not now done, I know this for a fact, that when you get saved, you will not regret it. Nobody that's ever been brought out of the strong man's palace ever wants to go back. Nobody ever wants to go back, because you'll want to serve the stronger than he. You'll want to serve the one that is mightier than I. Let's all stand to our feet. Father, we pray.